Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Three martinis today, definitely bad and crazy, and we'll start off with one that's grimly ironic. As Jim just mentioned to me a moment ago, it's probably the best way to encapsulate this. All of our martinis today deal with the horrific shooting at the regional center in San Bernardino, California, that played out around noon in California yesterday. As of what we know right now, there were two main shooters, Syed Farouk and his new wife, Tashfeen Malik. One is 28, the other 27. They got away temporarily and then were eventually found and killed by police in a shootout in San Bernardino. Jim, many different ways the media initially tried to assume what was happening. We saw some saying, hey, it's near a Planned Parenthood clinic, or here we go again with the gun violence. But this was a very different type of attack in the sense that it wasn't just guns, and it certainly didn't seem to be spontaneous, because there were many different explosive devices not only found at the regional center later on, but at the home of this couple by authorities, which sources described as an IED factory. So this is not a story that can be easily pigeonholed, even though a lot of people seem to want to.
I heard this morning, I think it was one of the ABC News correspondents characterizing this as a hybrid disgruntled worker workplace violence case and domestic terrorism. And I lay out in the morning jolt in the corner this morning, this is looking more and more Islamist as time goes by. I realize it's sort of a Rorschach test where everybody's going to see what they want to see, but you can't say, people get a dispute with their coworkers and they come back and shoot, except they had bombs. You don't make bombs on an impulse, on the fly, right? Not a lot of people know how to make pipe bombs, for starters. And the next thing is that report that the house was a IED factory. Well, no gun control law is going to stop people from making pipe bombs. This does not look like an angry shooter problem. This looks like a terrorism problem. And it's already illegal to make pipe bombs. So after a while, this just becomes this silly broken record on their point. I suppose you could say here's the thing. Foreshadowing one of our next martinis, the immediate response of all the Democratic candidates for president and almost every Democrat and every left on Twitter was gun control, gun control, gun control. Well, if the threat is not merely from guns, and the opposition, no guns were involved in 9/11, recall, right? This was done entirely with box cutters and hijacked airplanes. If the opposition is completely misdiagnosing the problem, then one, it's up to the right to save the country. It's up to the right to win this fight. We have a very big problem facing the country, and only one side is looking at it clearly. And that is, on the one hand, extraordinarily frustrating. On the other hand, boy, if you can't win this argument, pack up and go home. The opposition is bringing gun control laws to a terrorism fight.
You mentioned the reaction of the Democratic presidential candidates. Let's go to that. And in our second and bad martini, pretty much what you would expect. Hillary Clinton tweeting out, "I refuse to accept this as normal. We must take action to stop gun violence now." Bernie Sanders, "Mass shootings are becoming an almost everyday occurrence in this country. This sickening and senseless gun violence must stop." Martin O'Malley, "Horrifying news out of San Bernardino. Enough is enough. It's time to stand up to the NRA and enact meaningful gun safety laws." President Obama, both to CBS yesterday and in the White House today, essentially saying that this is too easy. We need to take common sense steps to make sure that this happens as rarely as possible, even though it can't possibly be stamped out altogether. Jim, it's more of the same. We talked about how there's improvised explosive devices, so that changes the story. It happened in California, which already has some of the strongest gun control laws in the country, and you just see the media going down the same path. I saw an exchange between Carol Costello of CNN and John Lott, who is, of course, a very strong Second Amendment advocate, and she started out her interview essentially by saying, "I don't want to argue with you." That's her job as a journalist right off the top. But where can we find common ground in that sort of thing? So they just can't seem to wrap their heads around the fact that there's much more to the story than what they think it ought to be.
What's really jumping out at me, Greg, and it's kind of got me fired up and irate this morning. So we've seen this. Something terrible happens and everybody jumps to conclusions. I don't know about you, Greg. I remember during the awful Boston Marathon bombing couple of years ago. First couple of days, because of the timing in mid-April, there were a lot of people who said, this is the militias. Tim McVeigh, the militias are back. And I remember at the time thinking, that didn't really make sense as a militia target. If you're angry about tax day, you're angry about the government, You're angry about what you feel is, you know, expansion on your rights. If you're a white nationalist, why would you attack the Boston Marathon? It just doesn't fit compared to a government building or something like that. And in fact, what made more sense is, look, the Boston Marathon was not necessarily a symbol of the American government, but it was a symbol of the United States. And if you were a local, that may have been the most convenient target to hit lots and lots of people if you hate America. Well, lo and behold, it turns out that the Tsarnaev brothers were in fact Islamists and were in fact influenced by radical imams back in Chechnya. So we have this scenario in which there are people coming from outside our borders, right? And when something terrible happens, people not only jump to conclusions. You notice, Greg, they're jumping to conclusions that demonize their fellow citizens. All the tweets yesterday, all the messages saying this is the NRA's fault. You know, Greg, not a single NRA member has ever committed a mass shooting. You know, the other thing is the first thing the president said yesterday was the need for the no-fly list. The idea that if you're on this no-fly list, which has like 600,000 people on it, 300,000 with no known connections to any terror group, Ted Kennedy was on the list. The Weekly Standard, Steve Hayes is on the list. My understanding, Greg, is that in 2008, Nelson Mandela was on the list. Dangerous, dangerous Nelson Mandela.
Well, he was a terrorist at one time, but he repented.
You know, like, in other words, and also, by the way, this is not something where there's a judicial review. It's not like you can go to a judge and say, hey, I've been wrongly placed on this list. There is no way of appealing it. Just somebody in government decides that somebody with your name, Greg Corumbus, you'd really better worry that there's no Greek extremist out there, right? Someday there's going to be some IRA terrorist named Jim Garrity because of the way the government operates these things. It's not tied to identity. It is tied to names. If you have the same name as somebody who's a terrorist, that's how you end up in trouble. And that's how Edward M. Kennedy ended up in trouble with he's a U.S. senator, but his name was popping up and he kept getting double checked every time he tried to get on a plane. This is a badly maintained, badly organized, really, frankly, embarrassing list. And yet people want to restrict Americans' rights because of it. This is why this is a silly thing. But here's the next thing. Greg, has anyone on the no-fly list ever committed a mass shooting?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, correct. No. So we had this continuing process in which our leaders say the problem is Americans, when in fact, as we look at this, a lot of us leaders say, no, the problem is coming from foreigners. The problem is coming not from within, from without. And I think it's very, why is this the bad martini? It is because, just as Gene Kirkpatrick said, they always blame Americans first. There are certain leaders we have for whom the root of all evil is their fellow Americans. And that is not how you're supposed to respond to horrible, abominable, tragic news.
Yeah, I heard Senator Kaine also talking about adding the no-fly list to the reasons people can't buy a gun. But in this case, it would have made no difference because we know that this guy flew to Saudi Arabia, married this woman, and brought her back. So clearly he was not on the no-fly list before all this happened as well. So
yeah, they keep offering non-sequiturs.
Amazing. Okay, on to the crazy martini now, and this really tells you where America is right now. In reaction to the news breaking yesterday, and especially because we got a pretty good sense early on that this was going to be one of the bigger tragedies that we've dealt with in recent times, a lot of people, political figures among them, tweeting out, saying that their thoughts and their prayers are with the victims and their families in Southern California and San Bernardino. Anybody, most of us haven't been through something like that, but they can imagine potentially having a family member stuck in that horrific situation. And of course, they actually do pray for lives to be saved and for family members to be comforted if they happen to have someone killed. But the left yesterday on this, Jim, just amazing. This is the New York Daily News, which ran the cover, God Isn't Fixing This, says, prayers aren't working. White House hopefuls on the Democratic side of the aisle called for stricter gun laws in the wake of the shooting in San Bernardino that left at least 14 dead. But after yet another mass shooting in America, GOP presidential contenders were conspicuously silent on the issue of gun control. Instead, the Republicans were preaching about prayer, and they went and listed a couple of the candidates. In addition to the God Isn't Fixing This cover, the subhead is, as latest batch of innocent Americans are left lying in pools of blood, cowards who could truly end gun scourge continue to hide behind meaningless platitudes. I seem to remember one of the first people interviewed, Jim, was a guy who got a text from his daughter saying, there's been a shooting, I'm hiding in an office, please pray for us. And then you look at some of these other folks online, Mark Meadows, Republican congressman from North Carolina, sent out his prayers for San Bernardino and the comment section, which is always a dangerous place to look, but on his Twitter feed says, how about you take those thoughts and turn them into a comprehensive gun control bill? Another guy, your prayers have failed. Stop waiting on your God and take action now. Your prayers don't help. How about real solutions, you NRA shill? And on and on and on. It's a dark, dark place where some of these people were yesterday.
The New York Daily News is a newspaper I've written before, and ironically, it was doing some of the best reporting yesterday, among the very first to interview the father, who said that, in fact, he was a deeply religious Muslim. Nonetheless, that cover is abominable. I also would point out that for all these folks who generally on the left, what was the first thing Obama said today, Greg?
My thoughts and prayers are with the people of San Bernardino.
You got it. So it's okay when he does it, apparently, but not okay for everybody else. My only observation on this, Greg, will be that, you know, there was about a generation, atheists have been around for a really long time. But I'd say about a generation ago, they generally looked at people who are religious believers with condescension. You know, they saw us as silly, naive, praying to our magical man in the sky and stuff like that. But they kind of chuckled to themselves over this. Now they feel contempt. They really hate people who believe in God, pray to God, believe that their prayers do some good. They also seem to see it as like a wishing well, you notice? The idea that, well, you prayed and it didn't happen, so, you know, either God doesn't exist or God hates you or God wanted this to happen or something like that. And most Christians, or I think most people of almost any faith, would say, no, it's not quite like that. It is not a magic unicorn that, you know, gives you what you want. It's not a leprechaun. It's not about that. But again, to look at this circumstance and get really mad at people praying, I think indicates a really twisted hatred in your heart. And you really should, you know, go off into a quiet corner and contemplate what you've done and think it over and maybe pray for better judgment.
Jim, I'm pretty sure I can say a couple things with certainty. Too much prayer is not what's wrong with America, and more prayer would do America a whole lot of good.
Yeah. Again, like really, if you're – how you look at this situation and find that the people who are praying to be the villains – if that's the case, then no, actually, I think you're part of the problem.
On that sobering note, a day of not much cheer on the podcast, but for appropriate reasons, of course. Jim, we'll do this again tomorrow and hopefully have a little more mirth in our conversation.
Indeed. See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.